keep going.
That's as fresh as you get, buddy. Yeah. That's as fresh as you get.
Oh, shit. Now what?
Only good vibes. Only good vibes.
Only good vibes, man. I'm trying. I'm operating on a new level of energy now.
I mean, like, you always go down this road of being like, oh, my energy's not good. But, man, you bring the positive vibes all the time, dude. You got the backwards hat, like what a surfer chill thing going all the time. So it's like, you got to come in with me. I'm the one who's coming in with whatever sort of, like, you know, pig pen, like the little cloud that's following behind him.
If I had your kind of... If I had your ability to kind of sit and deliver my thoughts like you do, I would turn that into a podcast, like a YouTube channel, and just start talking every week. I'm always trying to, like, be funnier or figure out the shtick or something like that.
I'll tell you though, man, when you're just sitting in front of a microphone by yourself, it's hard. I find it extremely hard.
Mm-hmm.
I have to have a partner.
You know who's good at it? Bill Burr, comedian.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
His podcast is great because he'll sit there in his garage by himself and just start talking about sports or whatever, and then he'll go into politics, and then he'll get in, like, an argument with himself. It's like, how'd you do that to yourself, man? Like, how do you get yourself amped up by talking shit and then having an argument? Like, it's so entertaining. I've never been able to do that.
Yeah, I'm not very good at it. I've tried. People keep thinking I am because I'll go off on long monologues. But I need somebody to be thinking is there. And it's very different when you're looking at a camera or standing in front of a microphone and there's not anybody there.
Mm-hmm.
It's, for me, I think it's more... I think I could grow that way, but I think that ultimately there's something much... I've done the solo podcast, and I'm not particularly... The energy is not really all that great. Sometimes I come across with incredible stuff, like the last few I've done on the Running on Purpose have been really good,
mm-hmm.
but they're hard.
They're difficult.
And they're deep, and they're
really
deep.
It's the stream
deep.
Of consciousness that's hard to kind of, like... I will get lost. I will start a thought, go off on a tangent, and never finish it.
Mm-hmm.
That's just, I do it all the time. And I'll watch the video, and it'll always start with, you know, so I have this story to tell you. But first, I'm going to go off on this other tangent, and then I'll never tell the story, and I'll end the video. And it's just like, what the shit just happened? I'll do that like 13 times, and then I'll just post it on YouTube. YouTube's a scary place.
Yeah.
Figuring it all out, man.
Good vibes.
Good vibes only. You mentioned speaking
this is
of
the
good vibes.
This is the good vibes podcast.
Yeah. I like the topic this week. I did a rant. I've been thinking a lot about the topic that you texted me. And it's... I'm gonna just go ahead and say that it's a little bittersweet. I've got opinions about what we're about to talk about, and they're half baked. So that's my disclaimer. They're half baked. But
they've been baking for a long time.
They've been baking for a long time. I have the thing I will say is I grew up in a time where we used to have to turn the TV on, watch the ads, be there at the right time. You know, wrestling starts at like 8 p.m. on Monday night, like shit like that. If you want to catch it, you gotta watch the show at the
right
time.
To watch the Von Erichs, you had to watch it.
And you digested what they gave you. And I think when that whole world changed with the internet and social media, like, we broke all the barriers down to the... And so when you're watching TV and you're getting culture, you're getting Hollywood culture, you're getting everything at your home in little Louisiana, you get that one stream from the TV. And then everything, you step outside your door and everything was localized. Mm-hmm. Your friends.
But everybody else's content was mostly brought from, piped in from, right? Everybody was getting a similar culture, like the similar monoculture of whatever was coming through the TV. I mean, whatever you're watching.
It was similar. Yeah. I mean, it was like,
well, because your neighbors were watching the
reality
same TV
when that became a big deal. It was like, okay, that was a reality TV started becoming a part of the culture. It was like, oh man, y'all watching MTV or VH1, I think it was called. I forget what the network was called, but it was fascinating because like that would kind of dictate some of the culture going on. And for some reason, when I think about localization or the idea of local, I think about it being, that was the only thing really challenging it at that point in time. The TV. Mm-hmm. Internet was just getting started up, you know, with downloading music and stuff, but I was still going to Sam Goody and buying CDs. So local even then was like what my friends were telling me to go buy. And listen, I had to go purchase the CD, put it in my car. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So things have changed so much then. And so yeah, I'm pumped to talk about the topic today.
Well, the topic is local. And we'll probably get a little into local versus global, or global being a little bit more. It could be a state level, a national level, a world level, a universal level. I'm interested too, because this is something that I have a kind of already a fully formed opinion on in mm-hmm. terms of just my operating, the way I think through it. And so I'm really interested to think and get your take on it. We talked about this a little bit. We've talked about it in short bursts in different episodes. One of which I was just thinking about, the one that made me think that we should talk about this, was around the idea I was saying that my view for where I work and the way I operate is so localized and always been localized because I'm primarily working with people in the place I am. Right. But in 2019, I started 18 or so, I started really working more with people all over the world. And that was just like, wow. But I realized I was just doing it locally, that our little internet site or our little Facebook page was the localized version that went out to people mm-hmm. all over. So to me, it's like, where are we going to go with this? Like, where's our frame first? Like, when I say local, what do you think about as local? Since you said you're kind of coming in with some half-baked ideas, let's just throw some of those ideas out here and see if we can't figure out what it is we're really talking about. And then maybe we'll have some banter around different approaches or different ways to think about it and different ways to consider it. How does that sound as a sort of
that sounds good.
A path through the conversation?
Yeah. I mean, from me, you know, from my childhood, I grew up in the 90s, and that wasn't it definitely didn't have the tendency. And when I think about it, I think of buy local farming, local, you know, grocery stores, local businesses. And
locally, we have Keep Austin Weird, which was a huge push for a very long time mm-hmm. of buying local. Yeah.
And I think, and to the way that I experienced it was, I was kind of born in the big box era where, you know, to get the cool shit, like I needed to go to Toys R Us and Walmart and shit. Like it was like, that was what we did. And I mean, we were buying cereal for breakfast and drinking Coca-Cola and shit. Like it mm-hmm. was, that was a thing. Like it, when I was growing up, there was no huge challenge that I understood, at least in my small town. And then I started around 2000 and like, you know, maybe 2004 or 5 or something, like it just started becoming like more prominent. You started seeing like, no, have a sense of pride in your neighbors and your, you know, these boutique restaurants that are opening up and all this stuff. It wasn't just going to like a Chili's or an Applebee's. It was like, go to, like, you can start your own, like, this is, we get local produce, we get, it was, I felt like it was it was on, there was a, it was a big deal. It was a sense of pride that was being developed, a relocalization after commercialization. And that era lasted quite a long time, I think. But it lasted, I think when you know, to me, it's like, if I'm thinking about when it all started falling, not falling apart, but being challenged, like my position is that it's being challenged. Mm. It's being challenged because information spread has become so readily available that it's easy to displace yourself out of your local community and into somebody else's community. And I think that that has had some symptoms that have challenged the idea of staying local, being inspired by local athletes as opposed to being inspired by athletes in Boulder. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, before, you had to read stats and go on blogs and stuff, but now you can just, it doesn't matter what medium you want it. You can get it video or audio or podcast or straight from them, or it's different. Like, we have access to everybody all the time. And my position is that this sense of localization has been very challenged.
Yeah, and see, I kind of can look at it from a little bit of a different perspective that says, but what you're getting is a localized version of that place. So there, it's not like we're losing the local, because I do think some of it is, we are losing, you may be losing touch with your own roots or the own place you're in from a real physical basis. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you're listening to, especially at least the curated forms I'm on, I'm mostly on Instagram, so I'm not on the Tik mm-hmm. and the Talk and all the other stuff, snaps mm-hmm. and the chats and all that other stuff. I'm mostly one place. And then also at YouTube, but YouTube is a different ecosystem. Like, it like operates differently. But you have, because the way you have to go seek what you want to find over at YouTube and at Instagram, you don't really seek and find, it just throws itself in your feed, right? And then you hopefully curate your feed to get more of what you want to see.
Digital
and then
it helps communities.
You, and it helps you do that. But yeah, these digital communities do feel local in a sense.
They do.
Like I've started this just reading about and paying attention to synth culture, synthesizers and mm-hmm. all the ways that synth, and my feed and my Instagram feed is like filled with these really cool, interesting people doing unbelievably interesting work that I would never have, that I will never find on Spotify or Apple Music or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I have this sense of locality that I might not have been able to get before. And this was the beauty of the internet when it first came out. Was like, so I'm wondering if there's an ability to be local and global, local and global, but you're also talking about local and, in a sense, from a financial or an economic perspective, local and not really global, but more like commercialized. That there's a sense of, this kind of leans into that Gen X discussion we'd had about subcultures and niches and how those things work. You know, if you think about what you're doing in a lot of ways, with Atreyu especially, I mean, you're not local. You're mm-hmm. local, but you're not stuck local. Like, you're also selling. I would don't know what your percentage is, but I assume that you're
going to
have...
Well, we're not local because I don't think... This is a point of contingency for me. Like, I don't think that a town would see... I don't think they see Atreyu as something that they need to support because it's a local business. But I also don't think Atreyu is just like any other boutique small business on the internet, that they can pick a brand that they most resonate with. And I find that to be a double-edged sword. A, yes, we get to build our localized digital community, which is cool. But if you would have asked me what I would enjoy most, it would be to walk out the door, and I'd rather sell 99% of our shoes in Austin than sell 5% of our shoes in Austin and 95% elsewhere. That's just me, because I'm old school. Like, I want to run with people. Like, I think it's cool.
Yeah.
Like, that to me is cooler than the digital online community. And a lot of people would probably give me flack for that, but I don't think you get your needs met in the full spectrum by an online digital community. I think that you get your full needs met at a I think more of the spectrum is filled in your local community, like your physical local community.
I agree. I agree. That's why I was being a little provocative with of digital locality or digital community, mm-hmm. because there's a sense of that can occur, which you do well with Atreyu, but you're missing something.
It's there's personal something for feel. Me.
Yeah.
Because on a personal level, I think that we need, like, to get our needs met. You know, it's a very basic idea to get in touch with nature and being outside. And if running is one of the ways we get in touch with nature, being outside is in that realm. And if we're going to talk about the cross section between running culture and commerce, then yes, I think that the highest possibility is to make the biggest impact in your local community. I think that, and then that would say, like, maybe I could be doing more to enforce that. But I'm a little bit, pessimistic in that regard, because it's the same reason that I think that it isn't it interesting that South Congress is a little bit of a global shopping mall as opposed to a trophy case for local businesses. Like, if I was setting up the city.
Yeah, you still have to go to North Loop to get something that's old Austin vibe, or even might be new Austin vibe, because so many of the things on South Congress are global brands.
Yeah, for sure. And if I was setting up a little utopia town, be like, no, South Congress is the trophy case.
Right.
You get to be invited there.
Mm-hmm.
And if in only OG, you know, Continental Club gets to stay.
Or new generation, but new generation that's recognizing how important it is to be rooted in the community.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't have to be that they've been around for forever, you know, mm-hmm. but more that there's a place for them, you know. So thinking about that a little bit, do you lament so many of these sort of localized institutions, maybe in your own neck of the woods in Louisiana where you're from, or here locally in Austin? You know, I have a mixed feeling around keeping Maria's Tacos alive, right? Like, it's so important, but whose responsibility is that? You know, ultimately, or Sound Exchange, but that's so long ago, and some of that is just real estate prices. I mean, all of it's real estate.
Yeah.
Right? Much of it comes to the fact that real estate has just gotten so expensive here that things go away. You know, I was just driving by in the old Whole Foods, which is became a Goodwill, and now it's vacant.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, how can a building be vacant? It's because it costs so much money to get into that building that there's no way to really do it. And you're like, wow, like, that's happening all over everywhere. And I think that's part of what you're lamenting here, right? This sense of where will we have a vibe? Will Austin have a vibe? Will any location, small local community in real, you know, really situated in nature, not nature in the sense of situated in a place, in a location,
mm-hmm.
will they survive? Will they continue to grow? Or will you have to be primarily online? Or will only big global companies, you know, it's like, it's a slippery, to me, are we just nostalgia? Are we nostalgic, or are we needing to grow, or are we needing, or is this a real need? And you're sensing it as a need in yourself and in your business. This is really important. So I think that's why I wanted to talk about it, because it's like, you've got this sense you should be doing something, but then you're not really sure what those opportunities are. You've been, we've been talking for over a year about potential ways you could get involved in the community, from a home base to a store, you know, from just like doing a small thing to a really big committed thing to sponsorship to sponsoring athletes you've played with a variety of different ways of being local. So you're feeling this desire and this need. Is that desire and need a nostalgic one, or is it one of growth, or one of what you see as organic and natural? I'm curious as to digging in there.
It was a way to make ends meet. It was. It's just hard to like kind of bridge these two parallels, but investing into the local community was a strategy. Maybe we can make this shoe company work if we really invest into our local community. And the goal was to thrive. And looking back now, I'm like, that's not a good enough goal. Just to exist in commerce by investing is not a good enough goal. It was like, and so if I've been stepping back lately, and I was thinking, it's like what they say on YouTube all the time. Don't make videos to go viral. Just make videos you want to make and find your lane and like play in it. I'm like, okay. So if you're trying, if I were to just go out and make art with Atreyu locally, it would look a lot different than trying to just do a demo day to the most people to try and tell them about the brand, to get people in the shoes. Approaching it, I think approaching it from a fundamentally different way that has way less to do about how many shoes is it going to sell versus what value can you bring to the local community is a whole different approach. And in the way that used to sound was a lot of work to not make any sale. I might as well just not do anything, right? You know, it was kind of like, we're busy, we don't have a big enough team, you know, like we can sell shoes online. Like if all we have to do is put an ad out on Instagram, why would we go do a local demo day to like six people who want to try on the shoes? It just seemed like a lot of work that didn't pay off as good as the online community. Intangibly, it wouldn't have paid off like the online community does, because we'd be better served as a business by building our email list and creating a sales channel and doing all that stuff. Like that's just natural. That's just good form. That being said, making art in the local community would be fundamentally different. It would look more like a couple examples I've been thinking about lately is if there's a new coffee shop and we should probably reach out and say, hey, let's get, you know, it's what me and my wife were talking about. Like, let's get clean energy to provide, you know, this, and they can do coffee and we can do a run and we can give out shoes and just to celebrate the birth of a new coffee shop. Or maybe Haller Brothers has like a new release. It's like, hey, let's go do a run at the Haller Brothers on West Lynn. A new release, like celebrating local community. So I think if you're looking at it more as like celebratory art, then that actually has a purpose of fortifying the local. That meeting the needs of what people generally look for when they need a community, a physical community. Because I do think that physical communities are going to have to start punching above their weight class if they want to keep up with the digital communities. That's the fact. Like, if you want, it's easier to find things to do on the internet than it is out in your local community sometimes. But that's also kind of, that's a habit. That's a mindset. That's like,
well, because there's no limit to what you can get on the internet.
Right.
And there's a limit to what you can get locally.
Exactly.
So I think that this is one of the points that I wanted to bring up, which is when you invest locally, you're investing in boredom, potential boredom, potential dead time, potential dead space, potential poor sales, potential waste of fucking time.
Yeah.
And that's the cost of doing business.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's the and it doesn't even need to be like having a physical location, but it's more along the lines of there will be dead time. And in the internet, there need no be no dead time.
Yeah. But no dead time on the internet.
But there is there's dead time in all of our lives. So you know, like, I don't know, I think that this is the way we're needing to recalibrate the way we operate. We have an analog mind and we have a digital mind. And we're working as humans to operate effectively. So, and we need a digital mind, but we also need an analog mind. We need a digital way of being, and we need an analog way of being, okay? Mm-hmm. We need a local way of being and a cosmic way of being. That means moving through local, through your state or your region, through your national identity, national structure, through just being a member of the earth community, to what is there out beyond our local solar system and into the universe itself, right? Mm-hmm. Like that level. And I have an analogy here, one that I think works. I like the idea of every business or every human considering themselves as a tree. So your local is your root system. It's the all of the life that's going on and being supported underground in the local, really the local space. There's a mycelial network that connects all of these localities in this way. This is the analog side, right? And then the trunk is just the experience or the body of or the body of the thing. So in, if it's a human, it's their actual physical body. You're using the trunk as an analogy. If in the business perspective, your business is the trunk, right? What's going on with that? What's happening with that? Which means it's doing all the things that almost everybody's seeing at regular level, day-to-day level. But how that operates now in our new world is that all of the canopy is the digital. All of that is up in this space, right? And that space is super fast moving, super, and there's more than, you know, the mycelial network goes all over everywhere, but a tree's roots stop somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But oxygen is being pushed out by a tree all over everywhere. And it's taking in carbon dioxide from all over everywhere. Yes, it's got local, it's doing it, but it's, you know, it's like, seems to be much more global, more grounded. And we need, a tree is only healthy if its roots are healthy and if its overgrowth, if its canopy is healthy. But what the real functioning of it is happening in the trunk. I think we as people, as businesses, as other things, is say, hey, you can't just be one. Like, it's not possible in the world that we're in now to not have a digital presence. We're not going
to. In fact, I think that if my opinion is that the world seems to be a bunch of, it's like suspended leaves in the air.
Trees that are going to fall.
Yeah. Well, they don't even have any trunks or roots. And I'm realizing like how difficult and how time consuming and how investing into the roots can keep you alive. And it's, you know, in a, admittingly, like it just is, there's a lot of work there that you're not going to be able to see in this digital world. You know, like there's a lot of work that has to be done where you're probably not going to get the benefit of it. Like investing into your local community is not gonna,
but it's gonna keep your root system healthy
for sure. Exactly.
So you won't really function without it. I think of this as in the sense of this is how I feel as a coach. Many people I'm working with are wondering why I'm not working on being an influencer,
because
that's not my job. There's somebody else's job that is. My job is to be a coach, and I need to be rooted. But they're arguing you need to be more, you know, digital and be more out there and be yeah, but that's not what I do. So I'm going to just stay with what I do and try to do it the best I can and let the other people do what they're doing. My feeling is there's going to be, you know, if you're not rooted, you're going to have a really hard time keeping that capture
right
over a long haul.
Yeah, like,
and you're going to be addicted to the capture, and then the capture is not a real thing because it's not rooted in the real network of what really makes the tree grow, and it'll fall over. To me, if it don't have good roots, I think they actually have a trunk. Personally, I think that's what the trunk is what the visual is, what people see. So if there's an actual visual out there, if there's something out there, if there's an actual entity out there, either a human being or a business or something else, the trunk is there. But what does its root system look like? And as the winds blow, digital winds blow, or the digital, what would happen if the digital goes away for whatever reason?
Mm-hmm.
A little electromagnetic pulse.
Yeah.
And poof, your root system, your local running group, you could wake up and go, it's Wednesday. Maybe I'll go down there and run and find those people and go for a run with them.
Well, that's what we did. We made the run club out of, for sure. It's probably the most important thing that we do as a business is our run club. I think that it's not,
well, because it's your roots.
You know what I mean? Like, and it to me, it serves more purpose than almost all of it. And, you know, it is the roots. It's fascinating because it doesn't,
the roots don't bear fruit.
Right.
The roots.
That's
create,
what I'm trying to say. They
the
don't.
The roots create the life, the create the energetic transfer that makes the, makes the trunk go up and then the branches mm-hmm. be able to support mm-hmm. the roots. I mean, to be able to hold the fruit that's going to be coming off of it. And we're so focused on fruits, again, as we go back to the part that we just deleted, the shit we just deleted about goals and shit, right?
Yeah.
But the fruit is what people really want, and the fruit is sweet and tasty and wonderful, but you got to get down in the, you got to get with the dirt and the worms and the compost and all that other stuff.
It takes work, and it's not going to, you're not going to bear all the fruit, the digital fruit. Like it's to me, that's the full spectrum. And to get your needs met as a business or a person or whatever, it's got to be from top to bottom.
Yeah. And I think that there's ways to be thinking about this beyond the sponsorship angle. Do you mm-hmm. know what I mean? I think an area that can be really helpful for locally for people who are looking for ways to get engaged in their local communities, I think the idea of service is a huge help here. Is to look around and recognize the places in your community that resonate, that are trying to serve the community. You know, whether you look at the Trail Foundation, or you look at Parks and Rec, or you look at the homeless running for homeless thing. I forget mm-hmm. that's on Saturdays. I'm forgetting the name of that. It's a national, probably way beyond it, group. But it's like, could Atreyu or Michael or myself recognize that our energy is worth putting in, our energy and our product and our ideas are worth putting through a service that goes out to the community? And maybe eventually, after you really get that going, you could even use that as a digital platform to say there are fruits that show up out of that you could take advantage of. But you would only want to do that if it was an authentic way that felt like it was in service of what you were doing. You know, I do think service is a place, under-recognized opportunity of looking at, like, why give, do elite athletes warrant that kind of focus? You know, like, you and I have talked about this many times, sponsoring elite athletes, what does that look like? To me, it seems to be make a lot more sense to sponsor a local run or a run that was trying to generate revenue for something or another thing. You know, time, energy, or product could be better used, which are all the things you would do from a marketing perspective in one direction. Are they useful to do in the other way? And then the idea there might be, well, what will I get from it? What will you get from it is being connected to your community. That's really what you're looking for, is to make sure your roots are good. You want to make sure Atreyu is recognized in the community. Recognized in the community for what? For marketing? Or recognizing the community for service? Or recognizing the community for, that's what your run club is. It's a service. It's a free crew for people to show up and run. We're all doing it anyway. Let's do it in as a group, right? And you're just committing to being there on a consistent basis. It's a bit of a hassle, I'm sure, on every single Wednesday of your life to show up at the same location, right? Like, it's a gift that you're giving. And you're getting back from it.
Yeah, and it is a service. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, it is a service. But it's also, it is recognized, and it is... it's a two-way street because the people who partake in it get something from it.
Yes.
And to me, that symbiosis is a big deal.
That's why I'm saying it's a service, because right. They're getting something really that they want and need out of it.
Mm-hmm. And so am I. And yes. So
your business's roots are being fed because you need it and the business needs it, and it's positive and symbiotic.
So do you think that, this is a tough one, because, you know, service seems so difficult for me sometimes, because I'm a bit of a pessimist, and I don't think that people, generally speaking, have as much of a sense of pride in their local community like they used to. I don't know if I can even compare that. So maybe that's just a half-assed statement that I'm going to get a lot of shit for, but I don't even, have we lost? Yeah, I don't know. I really.
Have we lost what? Have we lost a sense of the local? Or are you more sort of feeling like you're pushing back on the service part, or you're pushing, because you're not pushing back on the local because you really believe in the local. People, I think we're in a transition. I think we're in a transition space because we're so digitally focused. Our attention
is pushing to the digital. That's what I'm saying. I think that most people are so digitally focused that they can't even see what's in front of them in their local communities.
But if you don't build something, they can't come, in a sense, right? There is a piece to that, which is, or there are people that are already have things built that you can just come in and support and be a part of, mm-hmm, with your time and your energy and your effort. Or you could come up with something brand new and unique and unusual.
I know my view is super pessimistic, because if I look, and not in a good way, because if I look back on, I mean, if I'm, you know, as I'm challenging myself, I'm like, well, there's the Komodo Run Club. That's like,
yeah,
epic. Mm-hmm. And then if you even think to the restaurants of the people that are putting that on, like James Earl Bear and Philip Spear and Commodore and Fix Southern, mm-hmm, House, and like these are local institutions putting on local groups, like providing an epic local service. And to me, they're doing that at such a high level of precision and beauty that is like, okay, that's badass.
Uh-huh.
It's awesome. So it is alive and well, and it is thriving. And those are just one of the kind because of endless, you know, things that you can kind of cherry pick and look at. But I do think that in order to observe that beauty and to observe the fact that it's there, that also takes work. And it takes work to kind of to turn off the digital mind and to ground yourself. It's not just an Instagram account. It's an actual group. They run together.
No, that group started because people needed an outlet.
Right.
And it was a real need that somebody felt. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't, maybe it was one guy, maybe it was two guys. I don't know the whole story. I mean, I know a little bit about that, mm-hmm, group. But that particular thing is, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Somebody had a pain point and they decided to do it local.
Right.
Not global. Not to do it for
the
digital.
They have a lot of digital fruit too.
Of course, because it's real.
Yeah.
Because the roots are really, it's doing really, really rooted down stuff. Mm-hmm. And you think about, you know, and this is
running
something.
Running does a great job of it. It's like Joe's Coffee Run, mm-hmm, you know, I'm like,
or I think about the Loop, what they're doing there.
Yeah, for sure.
They're very, you know, a lot of that stuff is so fashion forward and so clean. It's not my vibe. I'm a grungy dirtbag dude, right?
Yeah, man.
But I do know that those folks are rooted in the community, mm-hmm, 100% with their physical location. And you know, I would just say you have something you're passionate about. Whatever you're passionate about, think about it digitally and then think about it locally and then work towards getting something to bear fruit by thinking about the quality of your soil. Because yeah, if we don't do soil amelioration, because currently the soil is not good in our world.
That's what to...
Like, we got to be the compost. But where does compost come from?
Yeah.
It comes,
yeah,
from the tossed off shit that nobody wants that we have to do something with, which actually the energy that focuses and funnels all of nature anyway, right? Like, as I said earlier, like, nature works in cycles, not necessarily in developmental cycles, but in cycles of fallow and fruit, right? Like letting go, coming forward, and not necessarily and always anytime you're trying to extract more from the land or more from it than the hat, than you're investing back into the ground, the more the soil's going to really fail. Mm-hmm. And then you need to be thinking about what kind of diversity of life do you have within that? You know, going back to that conversation we talked before about diversity. And that's not necessarily just racial or economic or sort of all the ways that our modern digital world wants us to think about those things, but really, like, what is Austin? Like, what is Austin now? Because Austin is going through this incredible growth phase that is primarily focused on digital. But what did we just do last week? We interviewed a local homegrown Olympian who stayed here and wanted to stay here the whole time and still is here. And he's just doing what he does, the way he does it. Like, we have the it's a good place. The soil, I think Austin's soil is good, but we do have to continue to reinvest our energies in making sure we have as diverse and as quality a soil. But one other thing I just want to point out is that it's always going to take work. So Commodore Running Club got going because people for 2-3 years showed up every single day when people weren't there, and then we're trying to get people to pay attention to this, right? Both the focus that they have on the industry of the food industry and the lack of healthy options, and then the focus on sobriety, and then the focus on community. These were not cool things when they were doing them.
Right.
Now they're really fucking cool because the guys who did it stay true to their roots and are
cool. And Austin's got great soil for something like that.
Always has good soil. That's
like Louisiana didn't have a lot of these things.
But that's why you're here.
You know what I mean?
That's why
I moved here. I was like, well, they're doing cool stuff over there. Yeah, the soil in Austin is fabulous. It just needs to be constantly re-aerated.
Yeah, and you do a really good job. So one of the things I wanted to just to tell you is, like, you do really this really well. You're having breakfast with a lot of the movers and a lot of the people doing it. Your relationship, I mean, I've been here since 1988, and you know more local people in the industry than I do. Way more local people in the industry than I do. And I actually had a small business that was, like, literally boots on the ground. Mm-hmm. But I'm in a phase of my life where I'm just not interested in growing in that way. I'm not interested in trying to figure. I'm kind of like making sure my roots get
deep
enough.
Well, like I said, I'm not. You can do a selfish or a selfless investment. You can make a selfish deposit in your local community, or you can make a selfless deposit in your local community. And just because you make a selfish deposit doesn't mean you're a bad person. And just because you think you have to make a selfish deposit doesn't mean you're a bad person. So me investing into the community was like, I was like, if I'm going to start a brand here, I've got to invest. But that wasn't an egoless deposit. It was like, I need to know people. I need to get her. I need to understand the scene. I need to pay my dues. I need to do all this stuff. To me, that was like, okay, got to make this work. Got to meet people, got to figure it all out. And as the dust has settled and I'm kind of been able to see things a lot more clear now, I'm thinking, I don't know if I've ever really made selfless, egoless deposits into the local community, and it's time to start exploring that, to actually do service through the conduit of what I've been doing. And the Run Club, it was the first thing in that, but it was also selfish because I just needed a social life.
Yeah, I don't think you're ever going to not have a selfish element. Let's go to Commodore, right? They wanted somebody to run with, and they wanted somebody to hold them accountable to keep and help themselves within the community. So there's always going to be a little bit of selfishness here. I don't think you're ever going to find pure selflessness. I just don't think that's how the human
species
operate.
But when you say service, selfless always comes to mind.
Yeah, I don't think it has to. I mean, Rogue was a service, period, a service. And then the quality of it is how well it's rooted and how well it's fruit it's bearing. Like, the roots part is the giving that's selfless, but even that selflessness is selfish because that's how things operate. It's just the natural order of things that they, again, I'm going to go back to nature and cycles. We have this idea that everything is supposed to happen as a development. It doesn't. Nature doesn't work to develop necessarily. Nature just works in cycles. Cycling, cycling, cycling. Sometimes it develops, sometimes it falls apart. Sometimes things work, sometimes things don't work, but it's all okay. And I think the idea here might be how to be local is how to be of service.
Right.
Without thinking, worrying whether it's selfish or selfless, is there a need in the community? You felt there was a need in the community for a run from a run group, And Atreyu could help provide that.
Mm-hmm.
Are there other needs? Are there other things you are there other needs that you feel strongly about? And then you just figure out, to what level do you have the resources to help with that? Because you have to be careful, because if you get too focused on the things that you think will be of need, because believe me, there are way more needs out there in this world than you could possibly ever fulfill, right? But what moves you? What's the thing that you can stay committed to and excited about being of service with? What does that look like? You know, and then my world, the thing I'm thinking about this a lot is just working with kids. Like, how can I give, like, to me, the future is what's going on with children. Now I have a 7-year-old in my life, so I see that a lot more where I wouldn't have seen it before. But that doesn't mean that there's any, is that selfish? Yes, in some sense, but it's just me recognizing what I have to offer and where can I be of service. And that's the phase that Atreyu is in right now, and I think this is the phase that Michael's is in right now. You really are concerned with how you can be of service, and don't worry so much about whether it's selfish or non-selfish. Whatever it is, service is your gift. Just bringing your gift out. Sometimes it'll be giving things away. Sometimes it'll be taking things. But that's the nature of the universe, the way things work. It's giving and taking and giving and taking. If it's all taking, it's not good. If it's all giving, it's not good. It's why I've used this idea of the tree. Like, there are roots, and there's the trunk, and then there's the canopy, and the fruits are what everybody wants to focus on. But hell, most trees only have fruit for a very short window of time. One of my favorite trees in the world is the mountain laurel, and it blooms this beautiful, amazingly fragrant purple color for like 2 weeks. Like 2 weeks. So you have 50 weeks of it just soaking up all the good, soaking up everything so it can show out for 2 weeks, you know? I don't know. Maybe I'm stretching this analogy too far.
No, I don't think
but
so.
But I do think that when we think about local, I think we're just thinking about the space in which we're in, and that space that we're in, we need to feed, and it needs to feed us in that kind of order.
I think that it's right. Because this all has come from a desire that, you know, I'm giving up long distance triathlon for the unforeseen future after this race, and because I really want to be immersed in my surroundings. Like, I want to get off of my bike, you know, I want to ride in the hills instead of train in my office. So, and experience the town, and I really am going into preparing myself mentally for like getting involved, even if it's a solo journey of being involved in the community, or if it's me getting involved in, you know, whatever it is. Like, I'm really, because I've had this sometimes, like on Saturday after my workouts, after the runs are done, and or Sunday after the run is done, I get really depressed. Like, because for the rest of the day, my options have been to like, maybe I'll go to the camera store, and I don't know. It's this weird obsession I have with like digital AV equipment. Like, I really don't know why. Maybe I'll just go to like the hardware store and look at drill bits and shit. Like, but it's always about buying something. And what can I buy to make something, to do something? And it's really weird. It's a really weird kind of feedback loop that I'm looking to break. After the workouts are done, I'm thinking I'm more interested now in building something that people can go to, or are finding something that I can go to that doesn't necessarily require like a commercial transaction. Like, the other day when I was finished with my run, I saw Carosa and Leo and all them out at with their group at Peace Park. I just ran 17 miles and went up Shoal Creek, met some friends at Genuine Joe's. We ran a few miles, I ran back down Shoal Creek. And then I see them there, and I'm like, oh, it's a new taco truck. So I showered up real quick, I ran back down, I caught them, got some tacos at the taco truck, and then I realized, like, this is what I need. There were people out at the park, mm-hmm. full Saturday out, and got some tacos, hung out with everybody, talked to their team. And I was thinking, this is the good stuff. Like, this is, you can't beat this. But when the workout is done, when you're like, we need, like, to me, maximizing that ability is just such a beautiful thing. Even just walking through the parks or walking on the trail or telling stories about the trail or filming the trail, whatever it is a huge deal. And I'm going in, my goal is to get into that life. Like, I want to see, like, what does an evening run do at a local restaurant? Like a happy hour run. Like, can we do that? Can, because what I long for personally in such a world of digital kind of confusion is grounding, regrounding myself in the present. And I think that there's no better way to do it than localizing yourself in the present and localizing yourself with humans and nature and everything around us is such a big deal. And I've been taking it for granted for so long. And realizing that the Austin landscape is just so fertile. I mean, we have it is growing, and it does challenges everything when it grows.
But people are excited. Like Leo told us, you know, he's involved in business group of men's business group. And he's like, new people are really excited to be here. And he's like, it makes me appreciate this place more. But I do think just getting out there and not, number one, not having a curmudgeon attitude, right? Number two, not going to your old habits. Like,
you got to do new stuff.
And you got to do new stuff outside with people. And then things happen. You know, that really good things happen that are basically creating a much deeper root system.
For runners, it's kind of a hack, you know, because
we have to do it.
You get to invest in your community, but by the time you go to work, you've already made that deposit.
Yeah.
Which is weird, you know, and then for the rest of the day, if you're early to bed, I think it's difficult for a runner sometimes who packs that morning happy hour in at 5 a.m. or 6 a.m. It's easy to get, for me, it's easy to get jaded because all of it is done by the time that I can drink my second cup of coffee after a workout. You know what I mean? It's like, all right, let's get the day started. It's like, no, you already did the good stuff. Like, you front-loaded your day with all the good stuff that you need. And I don't like underestimating that sometimes. So if I get bored, I'm like, well, I should be grateful that you have a community that you're running and stuff like that. And just because you're going to bed early doesn't mean that you're not missing out on something like that. But again,
but so much also of that other culture that's going on afternoon and then evening is, you know, you've got a lifestyle choice that doesn't, you know, by your sobriety doesn't allow that space is much harder to operate in effectively. Not because you're going to fall back, but it's all geared towards oblivion, something you don't value.
That is a unique, you know, maybe you've pegged it as the source of some of my,
because this town is fueled by beer.
I think you've pegged, we always come back to this. It was like, what are people doing right now after we're running? They're like, they're hanging out at Perla's and drinking Bloody Marys and shit. And it's like, oh yeah, that's where everybody is. Like, that's what they're doing. And sometimes I forget that I have to acknowledge that, you know, there's just a different placeholder.
I do think too, though, that the world is changing so much. There's so many more options for that. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, back 15 years ago, you would have to go there and drink like a club soda and everybody would know. You know, now you can have an NA beer and they have non-alcoholic beers and non-alcoholic things there. And now also because sobriety is so well respected within the various communities that it's allowed, but it is part of those of us who have had challenges with the beverage, the various, the alcohol especially, right? That social lubricant just never is the same.
Yeah.
When you're not got a little buzz on.
It's different when you, it's different. And I don't want a fucking mocktail. I don't want a $15 cherry juice. Like,
right.
Go fuck yourself.
Right.
Like, it's like I want,
yes.
I'll drink water. But I agreed that the social lubricant of the local aspect is such a huge, huge, it, and I'll just say this, it's awesome. It's awesome. Like, to, if you can handle that responsibly, like, what a cool situation that is.
I mean, it's a lot of it. There's a lot of it around, right? There's a lot. I mean, I remember in the years when we were doing Rogue, we would always say, whatever you did, just add beer to it and you'll have a lot of people show up.
Yeah.
And we, you
know, you nailed the subtle underbelly of my negative disposition. It's a lot of that.
And I think that that's an opportunity for growth,
mm-hmm.
like for you to be like, okay, how do I do that effectively? And then honor the things I don't want to do
mm-hmm.
and not encourage it, but also be open to other people's needs in mm-hmm. that area, which you are. You're really open to other people's needs. You're just really still careful about how promiscuous you are in that space, lest it become easy or more along the lines, not really that you will rescind. I think this is the key thing, but more like you don't buy what they're selling. And you certainly aren't going to buy the fake version of what they're selling. As you said, I am not spending $15 on a mocktail with cherry juice. Like if I were going to do it, I want to go all the way, but I don't, but I know that's not where I want to be. So maybe there's an opportunity there, Michael. Like, are there afternoon, evening opportunities for you and Atreyu that provide opportunities like that? But that's what Commodore is, right? It's like, that's literally, and it's like, you could just be part of that. And mm-hmm. going out a little bit more and doing that. And then Atreyu then is actively embedded in that community, which you are, but you're embedded in that community because it's of the same values that you have. And you just happen to be someone who you're another.
Well, I see us all in synchronicity.
Yes.
You know, if you're running at 10, you can run with them. If you're running at 6:30, you can run with us. So, and to me, that is kind of the tapestry, the woven tapestry of the localized community. I do think then what I'll say is, It's important to find ways of resonating and building those things up. And it's important that people give them respect, those ideas respect, because it's far too easy to overlook. That's all I'm saying. It's, you know, we're all in it. We're all just trying to get from point A to point B, doing our thing. And, you know, some of us are way more just, you know, fluid about it. But at the same time, I just hope that with where the world is going, you know, fucking AI and making videos and shit and, you know, all this stuff, and that we don't lose the service in the acute future will come by building up the main service that we can do is treating people with respect, gratitude, respect, reverence, resonating their local ideas to the highest possible frequencies, like all of the stuff. Like, I think the best service will be building people up and not breaking them down.
I agree. I'm reminded of the conversation we had with Paul, the on one of the two conversations we had with him around how we were like, he challenged us to be active in the local community.
Yeah.
Now, he suggested it through events, but I think really what he was saying is this, is being of service. And to me, it's always stuck with me. Like,
mm-hmm.
that's what he's
There's
saying.
There's a few things that stuck.
That just keeps coming back around to me because he is the epitome of success at the local level.
Yeah. Even the other day, he was like, the first thing, he was like, hey, you know this guy.
You should
meet up with
him.
And texted us both. He's constantly of service, you know, but the thing that he does the best is he builds people up.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about them in a positive light, and You seldom hear him talking about the digital ether. You always hear him talking about what's going on in the local community.
And what did he do? So he's got this borderline track club that mm-hmm. they're doing, right? And what he saw was what Carozza always does is he saw a need in the community because there were athletes that were finding, and he has a skill set,
mm-hmm.
and he just turned something that was nothing into something because there was a need in the community, and he became of service. Is he generating something from that? Is he getting something from it? Well, hell yeah, because everything we do ought to be able to have some return, energy return system. There needs to be something that fuels us one way or another, whether it's financial or ego or whatever, whatever the thing is, doesn't really matter. It's just that there's a return back to it. But that's not where he's going. He's not going to get the return first. He's going to be of service first. There's a need. Here's a need. Let me plug the gap. There's a hole here. Let me plug it with my energy and my effort and my skill set. And then let me pull in as many people, different people as I can, and let's see what happens. And he just loves to do that.
Yeah.
And sometimes things get dropped. You know, Paul, people give Paul a hard time because sometimes things get dropped. Well, if you've got that many things, some things do need to get dropped. It's okay. It's like he just keeps plugging away at the things that matter to him. And he's changed locally. This place is so much, as Leo said, this place is so, everything is indebted to Paul in this locally, mm-hmm. you know? So I think I'm just to bring that back full circle from me. I hadn't thought about it as we were talking about this, but as you just stated it there, it was like, oh, Paul challenged us here already in a small yeah. way, you know?
I think so too. And yeah, I'm sticking to it. That's my assessment. That's that, you know, I think I could be doing a lot more to build people up.
And for our listeners, the thing for you is whatever you're benefiting from the digital space, this is you're getting this in the digital space. Even the local people are getting this particular mm-hmm. this transmission through the digital space. Just we're asking you to then please invest in your local root system, whatever is there in your local root system, because it matters.
Because
you know, that's a full circle for you is coming back to is like, why does it matter? Well, it matters because the only way we get fruit is by investing in our soil and being right. having deep roots. That's the only way we get them.
And my whole theory on this is that it's going to become harder and harder for us to be naturally inclined to keep building up and fortifying and resonating the local community. Because the digital part is just getting so strong. It's got such massive momentum and it's going to grow. We are in a next age. Like AI is definitely the foundation of the next age. People,
but people aren't staying at home, Michael. People are out. The races are bigger than they've ever been.
Mm-hmm.
The clubs and the groups are bigger than they've ever been. I'm at parks all the time. Families are out in the parks. I mean, so yes, we have this digital part, but we're also still living locally rooted. But are we recognizing and valuing that? Because we're doing it. You're shopping somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter whether that store takes all its revenue and if you're in Portland and it sends it all to Austin, right? Like it doesn't really, what matters is that the place that's there, the physical place that's there and the people that are in it. How are you investing there? How are you investing your energy, your time, and your space? And this comes down to like a spiritual or self or inner work process. Being of service locally is just being of service, boots on the ground in the place that you're in. And all it is just like you said, you got done with your run and instead of going up and going to go look at, you got inspired to go out and get a taco and then talk, and then you ran into some other people and then it turned into this incredibly positive thing, which basically is just making your roots and the roots of the community grow a little stronger mm-hmm. over and over and over again. And yes, is the canopy getting really, really big? Yeah. But my guess is eventually things fall off. It's self-pruning. It's growth, growth, growth. Why? Because that's the space where there is to grow and nature likes to grow.
It is. But again, in this, like when you can get audio books, why go to a local store and buy a book? I'm just saying go to a local store and buy a book. But when it's easy to Amazon the book, a lot of people might not have a library card. And there's a beautiful library downtown. Lena, my wife, just got a library card. It's awesome.
Oh, I go to the library once a week.
You see what I'm saying? So that's a dramatic example of one of the ways. So what do you do about that? Maybe, you know, maybe one of the options is to maybe we move one of our days to the library, you know, or something like that, where it's just like, hey, don't forget to observe the beauty of this idea.
But I think it's really, really important for it to be authentic. You really have to believe in it. So, you know what I mean? It's like, you can't do it. Why is that? Why does anything work?
That's, because that's the roots crux are of deep. What I'm saying is,
yes,
is there you like 20 years ago, it would have been very easy for me to be like, yeah, yeah, let's meet at the library. But nowadays, like, I am caught in the hustle of Amazon. I am caught in the hustle of listening to audiobooks in my car. Like, that does slowly it chips away. The digital chips away at a lot of what we might see as opportunity, you know, and even invest into those opportunities. I think that's where we have to stay pretty acutely aware of the opportunities ahead. So we're going to have to, if you're anything like me, you're going to have to open up your eyes, because I am sucked into the white light of the digital ether. Like, I am constantly.
We all are. We're moths because it's new.
So you have to, in my case, I have to step back and do the work to figure out what is new. What am I passionate about? Because it's easy to get lost. Like, it's easy
all
to
that
complacent.
Stuff happens in the dark. The roots grow in the dark, so it won't be seen. It can't be done because it can be seen that way, right? So it's just part of the inner work that you have to do. And I'm not saying Michael Krachek. I'm saying all of us. And this is not about you. It's not about Atreyu. It's about all of us. Always, we know that in order to be if we want to be wary of getting burnt out by the bright light, we then need to go also spend some time down in the roots. And that's all we're doing. Mm-hmm. We're just saying, spend some time there and recognize, and it will feed you back if it's something you're authentically interested in, like a library. And then you just go to the library first. Then you maybe get a run going out of the library. Or, you know, I don't know. Each of us has to cross, as Carosa said, you have to find your own thing. What's right for you? What's right for your community? How does that work within your community? And you know, one of the things that happens for you and I, since we're like solopreneurs, right? I mean, you have people you work with, right? I'm a solopreneur for sure. You're an entrepreneur who final decisions on your back, right? There's a tendency for us to not push this out, because ultimately it's all on us. Like, I find myself doing this all the time, closing up because I've got to keep my energy tight because I got to make the decisions. So if I get too spread out, if I spread out too far, I'm not going to be able to handle it. But if it's something that's authentic to you that you really want to do, like me going to a park, I go to some park in Austin every single day. Without parks, I'm dead. I just can't be alive. And my business would fail. That's what I use. I use parks. So now, is that a highlight for me? Maybe I need to invest in my parks more. What do I need to do to try to create opportunities? Is there a way that my special skill set could be useful in helping the parks? What kinds of ways would that work? What would that look like? Am I curious enough to continue to do that? Because as you said, if you're not careful, the canopy of the tree will uproot the roots and it'll fall down. And you're very worried about that. And I am too. But I sense that if we don't do it, once we recognize we get too top heavy, my guess is you naturally start finding ways to go back down.
My fear is that it's not easy to go back down. Like,
yeah,
it's,
well,
because
then
I am,
tree will fall. Those trees will fall over.
Yeah, it's that. The only is a cautionary tale from my perspective, because what I am authentically attracted to, a lot of it has to do, and it's none of it's bad shit. It's just like, you know, for so long I've been interested in digital marketing and digital presence and digital, like, all of that to me is a very authentic desire, and I love it. It's great art. Like, it's a thing. It's awesome. But so much of my kind of the thing that keeps me grounded in my local community right now, one of the only things that keeps me grounded is my running routine. And when I start to realize that, it starts to be like, oh shit, you're like, I am not naturally authentically attracted to, you know, I'm so lucky to have running, because it's literally keeping whatever it is I have going on stuck to the ground now.
That's why I call it a path with heart.
You know what I mean? Like,
and
so,
I'm just gonna say, I'm just gonna push back against your pessimism, because I know you're not a deeply pessimistic person, but you have a worry and a fear around this. Not just you, just like you're worried about it for all of us. You're worried about it generally, globally. I think that because running is a path with heart, it will always require you to be rooted in the earth. And you
for
will
sure.
And you will find it. So
you
as
can
long as
bank
you keep,
on it. It'll keep you grounded.
And you'll find ways to get involved with your community.
Right.
So really, it is true, but running has this great, that's why I think it's so valuable. It has this ability to keep you grounded that way, because you do have to get outside to do it. I mean, you don't have to, you can get on your treadmill, but man, most of us really don't like to do that. Very few of us. Whereas you like, you know, number one, the reason you get on your trainer, on your bike, is number one, because it's right there, it's easy, it's easier. Number two, it's scary to get out on the roads.
Yeah.
And it's almost impossible to do so. So, but that's not true with running. Running, you can do it. And most of us, we use the treadmill only because we have to.
Yeah, for sure.
And those who don't, well, they're already top heavy anyway. We'll figure out how that works for them and they'll figure that out. But they'll have to run on the ground, right? So if they're going to race, they're going to have to race on the ground at some point in time. There aren't yet, to this point, not a whole lot of treadmill races that I've seen.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, is the thing keeping me grounded right now is running, for sure. I'm just more interested in finding an authentic connection with my local community. Either, sure, it could just be through running, but I actually think that there's more that I need to experience, you know?
I agree, because this is, as you've said, I mean, since for at least 9 months, this has been an ongoing little tweak that you've been discussing, and you just talked about it on your 4-year report on Atreyu's successes and where you're going and what's going on, is you're feeling this calling towards something more local. And my hope was with this conversation and bringing it up was that it would stir up not only you to be just thinking about it a little bit more, because when I listened to your 4-year review, you covered it, but you pretty surface level, much more just like to making people aware of the directionality you were going and the importance of it to you. You weren't really going deep into it because it's really not the right platform for that, right?
Yeah.
It really wasn't the right place. But I wanted to go there, and I think we went pretty deep here.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think eventually, I think that even if our listenership is kind of going, well, I don't really know the relevance to me, I think there is a huge amount of relevance to everybody, which is you've got to find something that you're in service to, and to be rooted. If you want your practice to be rooted, you have to find the way you serve. And sometimes that service may just be showing up consistently to your morning group, to the group that you train with, and to be of service to the people that you work with on a consistent basis. Like, you are of service to the running community with your 3 free Atreyu Run Club runs that you do every week. So you're already doing something, and you know it feeds you back. But if you're feeling compelled to do more, then just keep exploring the directionality for that. But all of us should be doing it, because that is what being a runner is. That's what it is to be a runner. And it is the thing that's different from being a basketball player or a football player. It's just the uniqueness of this particular sport / practice is it's got some serious legs in terms of optimizing the inner and outer experience of being human.
Agreed.
Both the inner and outer experience of it.
Agreed. Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad we discussed it. It's been on my mind. And like I said, I'm coming into it a little bit half baked and, you know, coming into it from, I'm just trying to figure out where we're all going. And, you know, It's of interest of mine to kind of, it's back to what Leo said the other day, you know, what's your goals? I was like, yeah, I got to figure that out. You
and
know,
we have to have a goal. We don't operate as humans very well without a goal. That goal can be processed. Process has to be a big part of it, but you don't go without a goal.
And the one thing that I didn't say in this conversation was that about two times in the history of Atreyu's kind of 4-year presence in town. I remember at least two times that we were like, man, we've got it. We've got to get into our local community and build a beautiful little scene. And anytime we approached it was, we failed, you know, like, so I don't even know what that meant. It's like, we almost didn't even get started because we didn't even know where to start. And because we're a brand, and like, what the fuck do people want with a brand? Like, who cares? You know, so you have to, you have to strip the idea away of all its parts, all its identity, and figure out like what's authentically kind of driving that idea. And we never were able to strip it of a name, a brand, an idea, you know, all this stuff, and be able to kind of, and so the one, like I said, the thing that did work, the run club, was like, well, does the club need a name? Who gives a shit what the name is? I'll just call it the Atreyu Run Club. Call it whatever you want to call it. It didn't matter. We were like, we don't even care what the name is. Just do the thing. Like, so when you're talking about authenticity, the cool thing is like thinking back on the continuum of it all. What is working is the thing that doesn't even require a name. You know, it's just it's
why? Because it's authentic. Yeah. It's authentic. So, it's coming from a need, from an inner.
It's just part of it's part of what Commodore is doing. Yes. It's part of what Genuine Morning Joe's is doing. It's just another piece of that bigger puzzle. And
as we have mentioned now, as we were talking with Ryan, he's talking about the growth of their local communities there in Portland. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of running is booming in Austin, Texas.
Yeah.
Now my business isn't getting any bigger, but that's because there's so many diverse options and so many great other choices, and there's just so much to do. So it's not like we're working with nothing. It's not like it's crickets out there. It's just determining the appropriate and effective way to get engaged. But in the best way to get engaged is to be of service. If you're of service and you're plugging a hole, and I'll just say, use Carroza as your model, WWPD, right? What would Paul do? like whatever it is, he just plugged a hole that he felt there was a need for, and he's going to get, it's going to work. It's going to work. And if it doesn't, then he'll find another place to put his energy, because that's how he rolls. It's generative and open. And I do think that's something that Atreyu is generative and open. And sometimes you go through these little dark nights of the soul that are like, really, what are we doing? And really, what are we having an impact on? You're still operating. You're still doing this podcast. You're still putting your product out on a day-to-day basis. You're still engaging with your community in effective and open ways. But you're also trying to figure out where you're at. And it's any time that we're in that place of purpose building, of developing purpose, where it's going, where it's next, there's always a little bit of sphincter puckering and fear, and maybe I should step back into this. And then when you step back, usually that's a constriction. And then you look out and you see, but other people are growing. You know, it's like comparison is a thief of joy, man. We just cannot, like, but what are we going to do when we look at the digital world? And you're, like you said, it is boom, boom, bang, bang out there, isn't it? It's like, and it's all sexy. It's all just, nobody's showing you the ugly shit. They're just showing you the straight up sexy shit.
Shit, I know. I know, man.
Or they're showing you the train wrecks, like the total utter train wrecks that then are also part of that pulls. It's like social media is the news of the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and 90s, where they knew what sold. They knew what got eyeballs to the thing. It's craziness. But that doesn't grow roots. Service grows roots. Being true to yourself grows roots, whatever that is. And exploration and growing and all that stuff, you know?
Digital fruit.
Yep. Well, thanks guys for listening. Did we get enough there, Michael?
I think so. I think so.
We tried.
It's a different, I think so. I mean, this is exploratory for me. I want to start feeling a sense of healthy pride that what I'm doing is actually contributing to the local economy. So, or the community.
Well, I see it as, but
yeah, I mean, I get that, but that's, you know, but maybe I'll always have a little bit of low self-esteem that what I'm doing actually matters. So we'll see.
Yeah. Well, thanks for listening, y'all. Hopefully we gave you things to reflect on. Talk to you soon. Godspeed.